I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, there are times when I dreaded summer because I knew the inevitable Michigan trip was going to happen. And my dad, being wound as tight as he was, I mean, go figure, I'm not wound tight, am I? No, not at all. I'm very mellow at times, at good days. Anyway, my dad would have us packed up and leave about 5 o'clock at night. Now, we're talking back when there weren't great rush hours like there is now. And he would drive and drive all night long. Why? Because he knew us kids would not be fighting or asking him annoying questions like, are we almost there? Are we there yet? I got to go potty. I mean, he knew that we were going to be just out and sleeping while he drove like a maniac. I don't want to tell you what kind of speeds that my father was going, but we had metal dashes and we didn't have seat belts. So what does that tell you? And we would have to, we would go like this for 3 days to finally make it back to Michigan on time. What does this have to do with the message? Well, it's basically the fact that we were people on a journey and we had a destination. Just as you and I are people on a journey and we have a destination that God has planned out for us, much like my earthly father had Michigan planned out for us, our heavenly father has his heavenly abode planned out for us, right? Are we there yet? And if you need the potty, remember, women, men, just saying. Otherwise, it could get very embarrassing. How many of you would be honest enough to admit that you're looking for the perfect church? How many of you know perfect people? Yeah, you're lying. And we know that churches are made up of people, so why do we expect to find a perfect church? Right? Just saying. What I would like to know, to say about Mountain Valley Church is that we're not hung up on being the perfect church, but we are the best loving body of Christ that we can be to the knowledge that we have. And we try to represent Christ well to the world in our community. So, how are we any different than the other 50-plus churches in Prescott Valley? Well, I'd say that we're not that different, but we are unique. Right? And we're uniquely peculiar? No, we don't want to go there, Eric. That was a really bad Bible study, okay? We got over a discussion of being a peculiar people, but we are uniquely called to a mission as much as every church is called to a unique mission just for it. We have a very nice building right around the corner that we abandoned this morning to be out here and to introduce Mountain Valley Church of God to our community. I, again, want to give a great shout-out to Eric and to Don Mosley, who accompanied me on putting out 500 cards on doors in the neighborhood surrounding this park so that our neighbors could say, you know what, this is a church that's trying to reach out to us. They're not just meeting in their doors and expecting us to somehow get curious enough to find out who they are and what they're about. And so here we are as a body of Christ trying to bring ourselves out to our community and introduce ourselves in a very nice way. Amen? And God has blessed us with a very nice day. We've existed as a church for about 15 years, and we're presently a church family of about 50 to 60 adults and 15 kids. Somebody take a count on the children while they're running around. You know, I'm just playing. might give you something to do in case you're a little ADHD. I don't know. But our church mission, what we feel like that we have been called to do as a church is to be a MASH unit, which stands for, and help me out, church. Now can we try to do that all together? We are what? We're ministering aid to suffering hearts. And so we search for ways that we can be involved in our community, personally and corporately. And today, we are being a church without walls. Isn't that great? Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 44, if you take out your outlines or look at the inside of your bulletin, that's where your outline is. And you can follow along with me as I read the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 44. In fact, there's more power when we read the Word of God together. So let's do that together. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and all the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Isn't that a wonderful thing that the believers did? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the sharing in meals, and to prayer. Isn't that the kind of church that you're looking for? People that notice if you're there or not. People that will care about you. People that will lift you up in prayer when things are a little bit hard in life. And in fact, if anything's any harder in life than what Patty and Dave are looking at right now. Dave recently, last Sunday, after church, he lost his balance and fell down in the bathroom and bruised his hip, he thought. They went to ER, they checked Dave out, and they released Dave. And then later on, they called Patty and Dave up at home and said, you need to come back to the hospital. And then they changed their mind. They said, well, no, what you need to do is find a back surgeon because Dave has broken some pieces in his back. And so Dave and Patty have been facing a very difficult week. And we as a church, for those that are on the prayer chain, we have been lifting up Dave and Patty and hoping that they would find the right doctor to help out in their time of need. And that's just an example of what we do in the church. We care for each other. We pray for each other. For those of you that want to hear a praise report, Ruth Sanzari has recently had a surgery to remove some cancer in her body again. And she went through the surgery just really well. The surgery took less time than what they had set aside for her. And I'll tell you what, folks, you want to be inspired, visit this lady. Because in the midst of pain and suffering, she is just giving glory and praise to God, our Savior. And she has such a smile, and I know that Phil has been worried about her and worried about the outcome of all of this, but you know what? And as her own words, God has my life in His hands. And I don't have anything to worry about. In fact, she was released. Right, Phil? She was released Friday or Saturday? Thursday night she was released. You know, this is unbelievable. But God, it's not unbelievable. God healed her, did a miraculous healing on her body. And so she is home right now, not exactly doing wind sprints yet. But if you could keep Phil and Ruth in your prayers for continued healing. Why? Because that's the kind of body of Christ that we are. We are people who care about one another, who walk alongside of each other. We are people on a journey to a destination. Amen? We are people together on a destination. Just as this first church the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had, mostly their faith with one another. You know, the gospel uses the word ecclesia, which means church. And it's the only time that it's ever used in the New Testament. You see, because in the Old Testament, the word was synagogue. And it was a temple of religious ceremonies and religious rites and sacrifices that went on. But in the New Testament, the word is ecclesia, and it means church or a called out assembly. We are called out assembly today. We're not in a building. We're out. And here we are. We are Mountain Valley Church of God. Amen? I'd suggest that a church is a group of people on a journey together to learn more about God and His mission, which God's heart is what? He desires that none would perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's our mission. Jesus challenged some unbelievers. He went around early in His ministry, and He went around to some unbelievers, and He challenged them to be a part of a very unique faith fellowship. And as they joined Him, they became a community dedicated to learning about the truths that He was teaching them. And obviously, Jesus Christ is not walking around the earth today looking for a group of disciples. He's given that work to the church. That's our mission. In fact, that's in the Great Commission statement, that we are to go out and we're to make disciples of all people, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has taught us, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, it's one thing just to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you need to grow in your knowledge of Him, and that's where discipleship comes in. That's where we get together and we learn the Word of God, and we learn about the life of Jesus Christ together, and we also celebrate baptism. Baptism is that time in your life when you have said, you know what, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I want to make a public proclamation to my fellow brothers and sisters that I am dedicated unto the Lord, that my life is no longer my own, but it belongs to God. And on October 5th, which is in just a couple of Sundays, our family Sunday, we are going to have a baptism service. So if there's anyone who is interested in being baptized, in dedicating your life to the Lord, we're going to do it October 5th. And if you will, come see me and just say, Pastor Don, you know, I want to dedicate my life to the Lord. And I want to do it this October. So there it is. The invitation's thrown out there. It's for anybody and everybody. So Christ has given us this great commission. As a church, we have to unite together, much like the church did in Acts chapter 2. It says they united themselves together as a church, as a representation of Christ's body. And so it's imperative to develop close, personal relationships so that we can minister to one another and so that we can minister to others. Perhaps Paul Meisner knows somebody in the community that he has been made aware of that is in great need, and the need is much greater than what he has the ability to meet. And so what does Paul do? Well, Paul calls the church, or he calls up another brother in the church, and he says, you know, I met this person, and they have this need. And can you help me show the love of Jesus to this person? And that's what we do as a church. We come together to help out people. That's our statement in a nutshell. We're ministering aid to suffering hearts. We want to help people in our community that are struggling. And mostly those that are struggling to know who Jesus Christ is. We want to be that representation to them that we are the love of Christ to you. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son. Right? So that the world would believe in him and have an everlasting life, an eternity with God. We need to unite together as a church. Would it be ridiculous if we had the body of Christ and we had it just diced up into all sorts of different pieces and it was just laying around and it was not united at all? And the hand said, well, you know, I don't want to associate with you over there because after all, your feet and you're kind of stinky. It doesn't make any sense, does it? And yet the body of Christ has to come together. We've got to be one body. We need to operate together. And we do that through close personal relationships. The believer in Christ is to learn how to relate to Jesus corporately by giving him praise, by giving him prayer, by giving him testimony. And testimony of his goodness. And the study of his word and his life. You know, that's our example of who we're to follow is Christ. You're not to follow me. You're not to follow Paul. Or you're not to follow Apollos or John the Baptist or any other example. We are called to follow Jesus Christ. He's our example. There is no greater example for us in the world. So how do we find out how to follow after him? We have to study his word. We have to study what he did in his life. And he gives us a great example right there in the Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament. Together we build a lifestyle that reflects personal as well as corporate commitment to Jesus as Lord. So, how do we find the right faith church? Well, I gave you four F's to finding the perfect church for you. The four F's of finding the right church. Here you go. You ready? This is your fill-in. First, fed. Fed the truth of God's word, not human philosophies. You're fed the truth of God's word, not human philosophies. So when you go to a church, you've got to say, does the teacher dwell more on religious practices or does he teach us about the word of God? Are they worried about how you do certain things and are they worried about the way you dress? Obviously not. What we desire is that every person dresses modestly. We're not here to show off our bodies. Even though they are great and wonderful and wonderfully made, they are not for the public eyes to be, you know, we don't want people's attention on our bodies. We want them instead to be thinking about Jesus Christ as they come in church. Amen? And so we want to dress modestly. Do we talk about religious practices or do we talk about the Word of God? Are you being fed the truth of God's Word? That's a church that you want to be about, that you want to join in with. Secondly, fit in. Your second fill-in is, do you fit in? Do you fit in with the others in the faith community? You walk into the church and honestly, we've got to think about this, church. Why do you think that strangers or people that have never attended the church before would just all of a sudden grab this great courage to just walk into a building full of strange people? and try to introduce themselves. You know, that was the whole impetus of why we're doing today. We're trying to introduce Mountain Valley Church to our community to say, you know what? Look around the crowd. We're just a bunch of ordinary people. We don't have any ticks. We're like you, and you are like us. Is it a fellowship that you fit into? And that's a question that you've got to ask yourself. Do I fit in with these? Do they have a similar desire to know God like I do? Because bottom line, that's why people come into a church building. They are seeking to find God. Amen? So, do we reflect the love of Jesus? Are we that friendly, loving church? And for the most part, I've got to say for this church, yes, we are. Honestly, y'all like meet and greet so much. It's hard to do church sometimes. You know, we get up in the front and, you know, it's time to roll on with the service because we don't want to, you know, we want to beat the Baptists to the church, to the restaurants, right? And yet y'all are out there just talking and visiting and having a great time. And that's what I love about y'all is the friendliness, the caring, and the time of fellowship that we have together in the church. But is it a place where you're fed the truth of God's word? Do you fit in with others in the faith community? Third fill-in is fellowship. Fellowship is the answer. Fellowship with these people comfortably. In other words, you see people in this group, in this grouping, these people that are on a journey, a destination that God has given them. Do you see people within this group that you go, you know what? I don't mind doing life with these people. I don't mind them knowing who I am and what I'm about. You know, that they look like that they are a people and that they're genuine about their desire to express Jesus Christ's love to others in community. I feel loved there. I feel accepted. You know, the people aren't looking down their noses at you and going, oh, really? Do you feel like you've got fellowship in this church? Do you? Yeah, we try to provide times. And in fact, today we're going to provide even a greater time of fellowship. I bought enough food to feed 150 people. You know, because that's kind of what I was expecting. But who's here is God-driven. And I just want us to have a great time of not only fellowshipping and dining on the Word of God, but also in fellowshipping with each other around some really good hamburgers and hot dogs and some chips, some drinks. I'm getting you all hungry, right? I'll stop talking about food because that piece of toast that my wife gave me this morning is just not getting me through right now. Yeah. Again, survey the crowd. Are these people that you desire to know and to grow with? And your fourth F for finding the right church, fruitfully. The word is fruitfully. You can fruitfully grow and contribute to community. It's a place where you can learn God's word and use your talents and gifts to bring glory and honor to God, right? So you fruitfully grow and contribute to community. If you find that you're being fed the truth of God's word, that you fit in with others in the faith community, that you have fellowship with these people could be very comfortable for you, and that you can fruitfully grow and contribute back to the community, then you have found the perfect church for you. Right? Next, fill in. Human institutions. Human institutions will fail or be lacking. But Christ learning and honoring institutions won't fail you. Human institutions will fail or be lacking, but Christ's learning and honoring institutions will not or won't fail you. Do you like that analogy? You know, human institutions are made up of people, and people will fail you in one way or another. You know, we are just fallible as people, and we mess up. And there are times when I don't always know about your needs, or I don't know how to properly respond to you when you say something to me, or you know, but human beings will fail you. Anybody ever had a human being fail them in their life? Right? And why do human beings fail us so much of the time? It's because we have expectations, right? We throw up with all the, we throw up, that's good. We don't throw up. But we have these expectations about how people should act and how they should treat us and what they should do. And yet, humans will fail us. May I hear an amen? However, Christ-centered teaching institutions won't fail you. Why? Because it's in a Christ-centered teaching institution that you will learn about the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it changes hearts, and it makes you not so edgy to jump out and judge one another. You see, that's what we like to do so much of the time. And I got to be honest with you, I think that our reality TV stations are getting us more and more aware of trying to judge each other. Oh, well, that singing earlier, wow, there were a couple of, you know, boy, I would have gonged the pastor on that one, man. He really hit a sour note, or you know, why couldn't we have a bigger band, more impressive, and da-da-da-da-da. You know what? It's our expectations. And if I come in to a situation with lower expectations, then when things are great, I'm like, woohoo! Yeah. Right? Did I get lost? Did you get lost? No? No, we're still at Tonneau Park North? Okay, good, good. And this is still Mountain Valley Church of God, right? Okay. See, I told you that toast ain't holding up very well. Blood sugar's getting real funky on me right now. Human beings will, you guys want to chime in? Human beings will fail us, but a people that are all about trying to learn who Christ was and how he's relevant to our life today, those people won't fail you, because they will continue to encourage you to live the life that Christ called you to live. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. It's on your outline there. If you read that with me, please. On Christ, the whole institution is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I was really looking forward to this day in being out of our building, being out of our usual comfort zone, where we have those nice chairs that are padded and where the climate is very controlled for us. I got to tell you, I've been doing a whole lot of praying this week that God would give us a beautiful day weather-wise. And, you know, yesterday I was a little bit questionable because it was very sticky and warm, right? And the more I keep talking, the more we're going to get into those times. So let me cut that short. So Ephesians chapter 2, it says, on Christ the whole institution is joined together. Are you like me? And you're going, no, thank you very much. You're not like me. I'm not like you. But we are joined together in our journey to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's what makes us alike. That's what makes us accept each other, is that we know that each and every one of us are doing our best to represent Jesus Christ and to learn about Him, right? And when we are joined together like that, what does the scripture say? It says, we rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. That doesn't mean that you erect some really fancy building, which we don't have. We have a very nice building, but it's a steel building. But it works, and it's comfortable. And the most awesome thing is we've got a purple ceiling. Woohoo! Right? In Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Have any of you ever been down in your spirit? Any of you ever had, you know, feelings that, you know, wow, you just didn't feel that great? And you called somebody, you talked with someone else, and all of a sudden, their laughter and their joy in the Lord just kind of spilled over on you. And all of a sudden, you're not feeling so dumpy anymore. You know, you've been lifted up. Well, that's what we're encouraged to do as a body of Christ. Number one, I can't know about your needs if you don't reach out and say, hey, Don, I've got this need going on in my life. And I try to bring some joy, or I try to help you think in a different way, or I just start talking about my grandkids. And you go, what a jerk. You know? I came to you with my stuff, and you're talking to me about your grandkids? What's the matter with you? And yet I try to talk about things that are funny and that try to lift up your spirit, and I give you a word of encouragement that, you know what, even though you're going through this and you might think that this is everything in your world right now, this is nothing but a blip on the radar screen of life. That this too shall pass. And so to wrap yourself all into this momentary thing, don't spend all your energy on that. God's got a greater life in store for each and every one of us. And that life is both entertained now and forever. Amen? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 19 says, I pray that you, being established and rooted in love, may have power, together with all of God's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I love testimony times. I love when we as a church just take time to express what God has been doing in our lives. Why? Because it builds each other up in our faith. It shows us, it gives us an example of what God is doing. You know, God's not working in my life all the time. You know, I'm not seeing the miraculous in life all the time. Any of you think about like things like that? You know, boy, I wish I could see God working some way. And it's the sharing of testimonies that we get to a glimpse of somebody else's life. And something's going well for them, and they share it with us. And we go, hallelujah, because it takes my focus off of me and how God's not meeting my needs, and it puts it on your life and what God is doing in you. And together, I get to celebrate what God is doing with you. That's what doing life together in a journey for a destination that God has for each and every one of us and for this church corporately. You know, there are so many books out about personal spirituality. And personal spirituality is a great subject, and it's what we tend to dwell on a lot in churches. In fact, there are more books at a Christian bookstore. There are more books about personal spirituality than there is about church spirituality. And yet, where do you see the power of God working more? In personal life or in corporate life? Well, there's a greater working of God's power wherever two or three are gathered. It says, there God is also. Wherever two or three agree upon a matter as according to God's will, something will happen in prayer. Amen? So God is about corporate. God is about church. God is about a body of Christ that he is preparing to be the bride for his son, holy, pure, and spotless. We pray that you are searching for a place where you desire to journey with others to know more about Jesus and to introduce his love to the world. That is what Mountain Valley Church of God is trying to do. Will you join me in the journey to know more about Christ and express his love to others in our community? Love and Heavenly Father, we commit this day unto you. We thank you for the gifts and the abilities and the talents that you've given these people here. We thank you for their desire to know you, to follow you, Jesus, to be everything that they can be for you in your kingdom. Lord, you've given us a mission as a church. It's a unique mission that is just for Mountain Valley, that we minister aid to suffering hearts. And Father, there's all sorts of people around us that are suffering. Let us be a people that are in tune with our community to bring the healing of Jesus Christ, that balm of Gilead, to people's lives around us. We thank you, Lord God, and we ask for your blessings, even more blessings, upon Mountain Valley Church of God. You blessed us so well so far in our 15 years of journey together. Lord, would you continue to add to our number daily those who are being saved, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, amen.